Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio, and I hope very much that you're going to enjoy this morning's show, as I'm going to head us this morning to the continent of South America, where I was last week in the wonderful country of Argentina. I'm going to start the show there, and then I'm going to end up going north of the border, if we have time, to a quick update on what's going on in Canada and the Canadian prairies, and also about a election in Manitoba. But let me start off with saying that I had an extraordinary pleasure last week in that I flew to Argentina, where I had the pleasure of going many times for the purposes of not only hunting, but also talking about conservation and the development of conservation programs in Argentina. One of the things that made this trip remarkable was usually when you fly over the equator and on down over the rainforest and over Brazil, it's often cloudy or dark. In this case, we left from the East Coast early in the morning and therefore hit the north end of the great Amazon rainforest with plenty of daylight. And we flew largely without cloud cover. And even though you're flying at 40,000 feet, you can see a great deal. Particularly when you put binoculars out the window, or not out the window, rather. That would not work in an airplane very well when you put binoculars up against the window, as I did. So I had an unobstructed view of the Amazon for the better part of 3 hours. The length of the South American continent, the length of the Amazon. And what struck me is, when you fly over the Amazon, and it's the first time I've ever had a clear view, I've had partial views before, catch a minute or two, and then you get clouds. This was wide open. Except below me was this canopy, uninterrupted for roughly 3 hours. No roads, nothing but trees, and then occasionally interspersed with a river. And I suppose if you go on Google Earth, which you can do, or you look at the space shots, you see the same thing. But to look at it from an airplane yourself, it's just spectacular. And it makes you realize, really, how much the world has changed, how little of what was here is left, and also the fact, though, that there are still places left that are absolutely untouched by the hands of man, or at least untouched in a way that's changed their ecosystem. And if this had been 1850 or even as recently as 1900, and you had gotten in an airplane in Minneapolis, of course, it didn't exist then, but if you had gotten in an airplane in Minneapolis and had flown to New Orleans, distance of, close to 2 hours, you would have had an experience on a microcosm of what the Amazon is. It would have all been trees. There would have been obviously no roads, no levees. It would have been a forest. The whole riparian valley of the Mississippi River was forested. Millions, over 4 million acres from St. Louis to the Gulf Coast was solid forest, hardwood forest. Further north, it was less of a forest because the floodplain wasn't as big, but it was still a forest. So here we are in 2016, and I had that experience flying over the Amazon. Uninterrupted, it just takes your breath away to look at such a vast green expanse and know that it hasn't been changed, and it hasn't been changed. And then we moved on down, of course, into Argentina, and you've had a great deal of agricultural development once we get out of the Amazon basin. And so I wanted to talk for a moment about Argentina and what it, in fact, is like to be there in the midst of what is finally a growing conservation ethic in a country that in many respects, from a conservation perspective, is where America was in 1900. And for several days running with conservation leaders from America and Argentina, we sat around the dinner table at night and talked about the evolution of how conservation, in this case particularly waterfowl conservation, in Argentina could take root. And it may sound so strange to us. You know, we have all these laws and we have treaties and we have satellite images and we have We have a huge database. In fact, we know more about waterfowl than we do any other species in North America. And the surveys that we use for waterfowl began in 1955. And we have this tremendous collection about where they breed, where they migrate, where they winter, how they live, how they die, the predator impacts, the agricultural impacts. We know a great deal about waterfowl and waterfowl-dependent birds, water-dependent birds. In Argentina, they don't know anything. There are no surveys. There basically are no laws. They do have seasons. The seasons are according to everybody we've talked to, the seasons are obeyed. The 1st of May to the end of August is the waterfowl season. Beyond that, they may have limits. The limits are widely ignored. The limit in the province where we were hunting is 20 ducks a day. Most of the outfitters don't stop at 50. They simply give you 200 rounds of shells in the morning and 200 rounds of shells in the afternoon. Say shoot as many ducks as you can with 200 rounds. It's a totally different perspective. And as they're going to learn in Argentina, as we sadly learned in North America, waterfowl are a finite resource. Waterfowl are quite different from doves, which I'll get to in just a moment. But in waterfowl, you have to have a degree of regulations, and you have to have a body of science to understand the breeding, wintering, and migratory habitats of birds if you're going to be able to sustain a population. So it's absolutely shocking, frankly, to sit around a table with business and conservation leaders and recognize that it's never happened in Argentina. Things we just take for granted here. And in Argentina is a developed country, although at the same time, you get out of the cities and it's not at all odd to see a gaucho riding a horse to market or pulling a wagon. There are simplicities in Argentina which makes you think you're actually an American in the late 1800s, but there's not a simplicity when it comes to hunting waterfowl. It's a thriving business. All waterfowl hunting in Argentina is carried out over baited fields, which long ago in America became illegal as a way to concentrate birds. So it's really... It's a throwback in time, and having been an individual who spent so much time in the waterfowl and conservation world, and knows so much of the early understands so much of the early dialogue from President Roosevelt and John Muir and Otto Leopold and Thing Darling and all these great conservation leaders and what they were wrestling with, it's like deja vu to sit around a table and listen to the Argentines say, well, they won't accept the other outfitters won't accept the enforcement of limits because then people won't come and hunt. That exact same thing was written about hunting in America in the late 1890s and through the early 1900s. And the subject of, well, we have to bait because that's the only way to concentrate birds. I mean, paragraph by paragraph, one could go through books and read from 1910 and 1920 in America and apply it to Argentina in 2016. It's literally just the beginning of the awakening of a conservation movement in a country which has the most incredible bird shooting in the world, bar none. For total volumes of birds, there's nothing that can equal Argentina today. Argentina does not have what America had in the 1890s and early 1900s, but if they don't put themselves on a path of sustainable resource management, they're going to be a country that looks a lot like America today and having lost so much of these natural resources. So to go to a country and understand what's taking place and really have a roadmap, which they have. Argentina is very, and Uruguay are fortunate to have a roadmap created by Canada and the United States for how to manage waterfowl and wetland dependent birds. The real question is, will they adopt that roadmap or will they continue to bait and to hunt without enforcement of limits to the point where the population begins to decline and then they're in trouble? The idea of the discussions going on today is to stop them from getting there because we know how to do so. But they have no surveys. I mean, here we're sitting at this absolutely wonderful lodge, Los Hombres, which is the premier lodge in Argentina, overlooking the Paraná River and listening to the experts in Argentina. And they said, well, we know the birds come from the south. And we know that some of them winter here and some of them go to Brazil. But no, we don't know how many there are. They don't even have the basics of developing a survey to give them the information for managing a resource which is worth hundreds of millions of dollars now from the sport hunting recreation opportunity. There is no market hunting, but from the sport hunting opportunity. So hopefully what's taking place in Argentina now is the beginning of a discussion of how they can have waterfowl conservation, how they can have wetlands conservation, because Argentina has not experienced the drainage of the North American prairies and of the heartland in America. It still is pretty much as it always was. There's been very little drainage, so therefore there's been very little habitat destruction. They still have pretty much most of the waterfowl populations intact that they did 100 years ago. We sure can't say that in America. We've lost probably 90% to 95% of the waterfowl populations we had. And even today, while we still have large populations in certain areas, it gives us a sense of what it must have been like to come across America in the 1880s and 90s, which today is what you can still do in Argentina in 2016. We'll be back in just a moment. We're going to talk about doves, and then I want to go north of the border to talk about the Canadian prairie. Thanks so much for being with me this morning. This is Charlie Potter, your host and the outdoor voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN, and first a message from your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Winter is here, and it's always tough on the road. But when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And nothing is tougher than the 2016 Chevy Silverado. Silverado is the longest-lasting, most dependable pickup on the road. With all-steel construction, Silverado is built to tame Chicago's winter weather. And Silverado's towing package offers 11,400 pounds of towing capacity. Perfect for hauling your snowmobiles. I love pulling my neighbors out of their snowdrifts. And right now, you can get $7,250 total savings on a 2016 Chevy Silverado All-Star. $7,250. That really warms my heart. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and get all the details. Or head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer today and pick up a pickup that works as hard as you do, on the road or off. Chevy Silverado is one tough customer.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Very much hope that you enjoyed the first segment of the show in Argentina. And before I go north of the borders, I promised I would. I do want to shift from the discussion in Argentina about the establishment of conservation laws for the protection, not the protection, but the management of waterfowl. They have abundant waterfowl populations. They just need to manage them in such a way that they're going to be sustainable for a long time. And it is some of the most incredible waterfowl shooting anywhere in the world. Beautiful bird species. The birds of Argentina, waterfowl of Argentina, are all cousins of the waterfowl of North America. The rosy bill, which is a poacher, is also a cousin of the canvasback and the redhead. You look at a hen rosy bill in hand, and it's very, very similar to a hen canvasback. They have the same pintail populations, just different species, subspecies. So there's no question that at one time the birds in Argentina and the birds in North America were interbreeding. At some point that ended tens of thousands of years ago, but they certainly are our distant cousins. The other thing in Argentina, before I shift to Canada, is the dove population in Argentina, the eared dove, is it has to be what we saw. We didn't see them, but our forefathers saw in the passenger pigeons. Just tens and tens of millions of eared doves across Argentina. Some provinces have more than others. And they exist in a population that has now been hunted extensively for the past 30 years on an ongoing basis. And there's been no diminution of any dove population that we were aware of in our travels in Argentina. If anything, the doves seem to be doing even better due to some of the changes in agriculture. It is simply astounding, the population that's in place. The part that is discouraging is that if it wasn't for American and European hunters coming to Argentina, there would be massive numbers of Argentine doves poisoned and just simply buried, because they are literally like locusts coming to the field, and they can destroy a sunflower or a small grain sorghum field in a matter of hours. There are flights in Argentina that quite possibly have over a million birds in them, a million doves coming to a field. And if hunters aren't there to shoot them, then the field will be poisoned, the doves will die, and the field, the crop will then be harvested. They're not poisoning the growing crop. They put grain in the ground that is poisoned, and it kills the doves. And then they come along with bulldozers and pile them up and bury them in the ground. So in Argentina, and as horrific as that is, it's awful. In Argentina, hunting is the means, in many respects, to maintain this dove population and this dove hunting industry that has grown around it. The numbers of birds, as I said, are just beyond description. There's you have to see it, and even seeing it with your own eyes, one really can't believe it. It's possible in less than an hour's time to shoot more than 500 rounds, 500 shells, in less than an hour's time. 20 boxes. If you have two guns, you can shoot 1,000 shells, rounds in an hour. At flights of birds that are so dense they literally just obliterate the sky. So waterfowl conservation in Argentina, a definite need. Dove conservation in Argentina. Somehow we have to figure out how to stop the poisoning of birds and actually expand the sport hunting market in Argentina. And, of course, birds that are shot are then fed to villages and are well used, whereas poisoned birds are just buried. Before I sign off for the morning, I want to quickly jump north of the border, having come all the way back from South America. And, by the way, my flight back to South America, the Brazilian rainforest and the Amazon were under cloud cover, so I don't have a return flight to report on. But I do have a quick report on Canada. It is drier than we'd like to see it in the prairie pothole provinces right now, particularly the key areas of southwestern Manitoba, northern, southeastern Saskatchewan, and in the Dakotas. This is turning up to be a drier year than any we've had in recent time. Carryover water was good. The populations are good, but it's going to have an impact on nesting ducks this spring. So it's not going to be a banner year on the breeding grounds of the North American prairies, which are the Dakotas, eastern Montana, northwestern Minnesota, and, of course, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and Alberta, where over 70% of all waterfowl come from and are extremely important to the shorebird population as well as many songbirds. We've been in a wet cycle, by and large, since 1993 with a couple periods of a little bit of dry weather, but that was not widespread. It appears, it still can change, but we're getting pretty late. It appears as though many of the most seasonal, shallow wetlands, potholes of the prairie pothole country are dry. The more permanent basins have water. That means that there's not going to be as much habitat for nesting birds as there has been, which means that we unfortunately will not have the success of nesting birds that we've become accustomed to the last few years. There's still a little bit of time to turn around. I'm going up next week to have a firsthand look, but right now the production outlook from the key area for waterfowl breeding in North America is less than stellar. Thanks very much for being with me. I hope you've enjoyed the show. I'll be back next Sunday morning at much more in the Great Outdoors. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.